You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Igor Ashkinya. Igor, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Igor, I know you're in Croatia now. Can you tell me a little bit about the town and in your studio there? I'm curious about what it's like to work there.
I'm living in Rijeka, in Croatia. Rijeka is a town, it's a relatively small town, but, you know, in Croatia terms, it's a third town as for the population. But Croatia is also a very small country, so it's like 150,000 people living in Rijeka. And Rijeka is located in the northern part of the Adriatic Sea. So it's close to Slovenia, Austria, and Italy.
And you were born there and have been working there your whole life. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to. Yes, I'm born in Rijeka, and I live and work here. But I studied in Italy, and I'm trying to work in different other places. But my studio is based here, and basically I'm living more or less in this corner of the world all my life. Yes.
And so let's talk about what you're working on now. What are you doing in your studio at the moment?
Recently I started one new project that it's at the very beginning, but somehow it's really related to the place where I live. Rijeka will be a cultural capital of Europe in 2020. So it's basically some kind of a European program that basically every year two towns or two cities in Europe become a cultural capital, and there are a lot of things going on. And basically it's some kind of a political idea to decentralize a little bit some kind of culture, through culture, to put attention also to some kind of peripheral points. So Rijeka will be a cultural capital in 2020, and in the framework of this program, I was invited to propose a project that I started to work on now, and somehow it will deal with a little bit the history of the city, but it will also be very much related to some kind of possible futures, and it's also very critical towards a lot of things which are somehow related to the specific space of the city of Rijeka. If I can explain in few words, basically the idea, Rijeka is a port, so it's a city on the sea, and it was an important industrial place for this region. And of course, like in many other places, the industry is gone. The port is still working, and basically the center of the town, center of the city, is also mainly artificially made in the last 150 years. And basically this kind of the center of the city is also somehow stopped to be used with the industry and the port. And somehow this kind of 19th century spaces and the modernist 20th century, you know, industries and so on, these spaces which are central to the city were overtaken by the nature. So I'm trying to make a kind of research of the wildlife which is somehow going on here in the center of the city. And after that, the idea is to kind of use that material to make an installation and visual work that will somehow deal with it. I also have to just mention a little bit of history of the city, because it's very important for this work and for the whole identity which I'm somehow referring to. Rijeka, like all industrial places, Rijeka was very much developed. It was a very small, very, very, very small town before the 19th century, and it started to be important with the industrialization. So this kind of bourgeois society was very important for the identity of the city. What I was interesting is to use the form of the wallpapers for the decorative wallpapers for the interiors of the houses of that age, and which mainly most of the wallpapers were had some kind of floral decorations, and these plants were representing some kind of prosperity or richness, and they had different symbolic meanings or different associations. And my idea was to reinterpret this format and somehow to fill it with a new situation, basically to create new wallpapers, new designs, which are basically formed on the plants that are actually weed. No, they're not resources that humans use. They do not represent wealth, but they represent some kind of end of one big era. So I'm now at the beginning of the project. So I'm collaborating with the curators from the National History Museum, Natural History Museum, sorry, and we are starting to make a research in order to gather the material in this moment.
And this exhibition, this installation, you also said is somewhat critical of the city or this idea of a cultural center. Is that correct? Which you're talking a little bit about now, but it doesn't sound like a specific criticism. Are you talking about its also designation as a cultural center, or you're talking more about the history of the city and how it came to be?
Well, the critical element I see it function in two ways. So one is that basically the idea of the prosperity and the idea of the resources, you know, the human attitude toward the surrounding as a resource basically is somehow filled with another nature, which for us doesn't have any kind of economical value. So the weed, this kind of nature that overtakes our urban places, basically devalue the spaces themselves. But they're, you know, humans at the moment don't know what to do with it. So basically, it doesn't create any new economy, and we don't see it as a resource. So this is one potentially one critical element of the work. The other is this kind of moment that where the work that basically travels through time and make a lot of connections to the 19th century, but basically pass over the 20th century as nothing, as 20th century almost didn't exist. So and 20th century from the historical point of view was very, very important for development of the country where I live, and but also other countries. And from historical point of view, if we think of impossible situation where 20th century never happened in this area. It would be, I think it would have almost catastrophical consequences to for our society. So, and of course there is this third element that there is a center of one town, city, which is not being used and so on. So, but this is something that I'm a bit less interested
in. And that's exciting. So this installation will take place in 2020. Is that when it'll happen?
Yes.
And can you talk at all about how it will be composed, the elements or images that will be in it, or is it too early for that?
So basically, I will create different wallpapers. I will create different designs, and each design will be a part of the city. So like a street or a neighborhood, and all the elements in the wallpaper will be a part of the biological life of that neighborhood. So on the formal level, maybe it will be very similar to all the wallpapers, but the plants and the forms will be completely new. And what is really interesting for me is that basically the biological life, you know, the life of the plants and of the living beings like insects and so on, it's very similar it has a similar dynamics as a human society. So you have like migrant plants, you have kind of a very stable environment, you have very aggressive species and so on. So according to the research that we started to do this year, I will also a little bit create, it will influence very much the final design. But the end work, the installation that I'm thinking of doing at the end, will basically be shown in one of the port storage spaces. So it will not be... it will be in some kind of a public, semi-public space. And in these huge storage spaces, which are basically only a metal structures with a roof, so there are no walls. You can walk inside and there are just huge roofs where you can store things. The idea is to create kind of architecture with a few walls, and the walls will be covered with these wallpapers. So basically, the people can walk inside, stay in there, come with their dogs, or just walk around. And the idea is to create this kind of public intervention of the big scale, which is somehow stays there on its own.
I like that so much. That sounds exciting. And let's talk about one other project before we go. I wanted to talk about, I believe it's pronounced Ephemeropolis, this project you showed not that long ago in Italy and in other places, which it sounds to me like is this relates in some ways. It's also about an urban situation. It's a city and your own city as well as another city, right? Can you tell me a little bit about that installation?
Well, this is a little bit a strange coincidence because until recently, I did works which are totally not related to the place where I live. But with these two works, they speak very much about the city of Rijeka, and Ephemeropolis is an installation that basically compare two places in Europe. One is the suburb of Paris, which is called Vitry, and basically it's a town on the outskirts of Paris with 70,000 inhabitants, and mainly it's a town built in the 70s, so it's a kind of late modern architecture, housing architecture, and it's mainly populated by the immigrants. And this place is put in relation to the suburbs in Rijeka, which were made in the same period, so in the 60s and the 70s, which are some kind of which have a little bit different history. So these both places are some kind of peripheral places. They are both made in this expansion, last modernist expansion of the urban of the cities in the 60s and the 70s, but they have totally different lives. So the situation in Rijeka is that it is a very depopulated place, and Vitry is basically populated, but not, I mean, it's populated by the French people, but with non-French origin. So I really liked this kind of contrast. So it's a kind of similar architecture, you know, and it's a very much architecture that you can find in the States, in Latin America, in Russia, in all over. I mean, it's very, this kind of, it is a very typical 20th century social housing architecture, which is universal almost. But of course, the particular stories of these houses and places are very different. So I was interested in contrasting these two situations with the different destinies and different circumstances. Basically, the work was an installation that, on one hand, I photographed these high rises in Rijeka. There are these kind of really big, tall buildings, which are basically only housing blocks, and I photographed them in the moment of night when all the lights are off, and this huge concrete agglomeration of apartments, where they are somehow suspended, so you don't know if they're abandoned or they're just in this kind of moment of sleep. And then I printed these photographs onto the semi-transparent textile and created curtains out of it. So basically the installation consists of the curtains with the images of the of night photos of concrete huge buildings. On the other side, I took some forms and some associations to the similar architecture in Paris suburb, and basically I created prints on the newspapers, newspaper material, newspaper paper, which has not been printed, and I used the sun to somehow to expose the paper and create some kind of forms that are showing the houses and blocks with the different names of the families of people who live there and so on. So it's this kind of, I don't know if I explained it well, but...
No, you did explain it well, and it is. I mean, these are also kind of screens that are standing up, so the viewers walk through them, and it's as though they're walking through, in a way, a kind of city landscape. And it has, I mean, I haven't seen it in person, but I would imagine it has a kind of haunting feeling to some extent because of the way they're photographed in the evening, and even the transparency of it. It's kind of the past, what has been, the people who were here, the kind of living elements in the city that are now asleep or not working, that there's an almost memorial type feel to it, or is there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there is also one very important element that these screens, these semi-transparent textiles are very, very light. So basically with people, with the visitors walking through them, they create also movement of the air that reflects to the screen. So you have this kind of concrete buildings that move also with the visitors. So I really liked this kind of different layers that I could have with the shift in material.
I like that too. And so to talk about also the materials and how they're collected. Your work would seem to be in some ways difficult to collect. But am I wrong? How does this move out into the world? Do these go into collections or homes? The installation seems somewhat large or complicated for homes, but is that part of how the work travels in personal collections or no?
Well, there are different works and different situations, but mainly these big installations are part of public collections, of museum collections. So, for example, some years ago I developed different installations with the dust, with the home dust, and basically it's absolutely ephemeral and almost impossible or non-material, but fortunately these works entered in public collections, which makes me very happy, because beside being in home, but you know, when the works enter in the museums, then somehow their life could eventually be a bit longer.
Hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you articulated that. That would be nice. And are you doing other activities beside this? Do you also teach or do other activities?
Yes. I also teach. I also teach. Hmm. There is an Academy of Applied Art here in the place where I live. So I teach also. Yes.
And well, I wish you great success on the next upcoming show. That sounds very interesting, and the space you're doing it and what it's addressing. And I want to ask you before we go, what is it that you're reading at the moment? The question I ask everyone.
Well, there are a few things, but maybe I can say that there is one fantastic book by Italian writer Claudio Magris. Claudio Magris is from the city of Trieste, which is basically the almost twin city of Rijeka, where I live. I was reading his novel, I think in English is Blameless. It's translated, the title of the novel is Blameless. And it's an incredible story of a person that collects different objects related to different wars in order to create a museum with the idea to create a museum of war in order to have eternal peace. No? So there is, and actually this person really existed. So, but it's a really fantastic, beside this story of that person and his obsession with the war objects, there is a fantastic moment of another person who is his assistant, and basically the whole idea of being the other, especially in a small place in the periphery. So this is one book, and the other book is from Croatian writer Dubravka Ugrešić. Her last book, which is called Fox, and it's also a fantastic novel where she basically plays with the figure of a fox as a kind of mine, and it's a reflection of women in literature, but through minor characters or through footnotes, and it's a beautiful novel.
Oh, that's lovely. Thanks for telling me about those, Igor. I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure discussing your work.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It was really my pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.